everybody. Welcome to a special Talking Simpsons news update. This is one of your hosts, Bob Mackey, who is here with me today.
Your other host, Henry Gilbert. Hello.
And we decided to do this because people have been tweeting at us because there's been recent news in Simpsons world about an episode being pulled.
Yes. Yeah. I've been getting a lot of questions and comments wondering, like, what do you guys think of this bit of news? And you know, I did tweet a couple things, but there's kind of no, there's just not enough space to really give proper context and dialogue to it on Twitter. As you can expect, Twitter is not a great place to have real conversation.
But the news is, because of the recent Finding Neverland documentary on HBO, the documentary about Michael Jackson's victims, James L. Brooks, Matt Groening, and Al Jean have decided to pull Stark Raving Dead from airing. I believe that's as far as it's going. I have not heard the word DVD or anything like that, like remastering and reproducing a new DVD.
You know, I saw competing things on that. I think I thought I had read somewhere that they had said it would be out, not on the DVD, but also how often are they printing new DVDs of season 3 anyway?
That's exactly, yeah, that's true. So, I mean, it might be on the new season 3 DVD, whatever form that takes in, what, I don't know, 2020 or whenever that
when
happens.
When Disney publishes them.
Yes. Yeah, Disney will probably not want that on there. But regardless of what happens to the episode in question, here is what James L. Brooks said about the episode. He said that it was, quote, the only choice to make. And he also said, this was a treasured episode. There are a lot of great memories we have wrapped up in that one. And this certainly doesn't allow them to remain. So, yes, I will say, number one, if you're questioning the removal of this episode and you haven't seen the documentary, find a way to watch it. I quote unquote recommend watching it. It's not something that's fun, like get your popcorn, get your sodas, get in the room, let's watch this. It's fascinating. It's compelling. It's also very harrowing and also very ugly and maybe about things you don't want to hear about.
So seems quite upsetting.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, up front, this episode might talk about things you're not comfortable with. If you're not comfortable with talk about sexual abuse, this is probably not the episode of Talking Simpsons for you. We're not going to go into detail about specifics, of course, but this is what we have to deal with because of the news in the Simpsons world.
Yeah. Yeah. And I totally understand James L. Brooks's choice there too. Well, and it was him and Groening and Al Jean, which, if you're to name the three, you know, judges or rulers of the Simpsons domain, then it's them, you know. And yeah, I get you can't celebrate that anymore. And if they had an episode, like say there was an episode they almost had O.J. Simpson on. If they did have O.J. Simpson on it, I could see them completely taking it out of rotation for a time in the 90s, or as they really did do in syndication with the 9/11, well, not the 9/11, but the World Trade Center episode.
Yeah.
It was removed from it. It took, I think, about 5 or 6 years before it really got back into syndication. It's a choice they've made in the past. This is not even like a new thing for them to do.
It feels like it could be more permanent than the 9/11 thing, though.
It does.
Yeah, but I will say, number one, in case you're concerned, this is people's number one concern. I don't think they're concerned trolling, is that, like, we need to preserve this episode. What will happen to this episode? Number one, it will always exist forever.
Mm-hmm.
Forever. This is not the Star Wars holiday special you're trying to find at a Comic-Con in 1994. This was one of the most popular episodes of the most popular show on TV at that time that aired, I would say, thousands, if not tens of thousands of times since that original airing, and also has been put on millions of DVDs. It will never
literally
go anywhere.
Millions.
Yes,
it will. Yes, literally millions of DVDs all over the world. There's no way that Stark Raving Dad could possibly be lost in time. And that's just through legal means.
Yes, yes.
Like, it will. This is just a fact of existence now, is that all things will be kept forever, far much more than you'd want them to, I
That's
think
true.
In some cases. You, and especially a very famous episode of one of the most famous television shows ever, will never go away. I can search stream Stark Raving Dad right now and find it. And that would have been before this.
Yeah.
Now, because of this, it makes it, for some edgelord kids, the episode they don't want you to see. And so that only exacerbates the preservation of it, at least in a digital form, let alone on printing your own DVDs.
Right.
Like, this will always be able to be seen. People talk about, like, oh, Song of the South, Disney won't let you see it. You can see it right now.
Yeah.
You don't want to. It's boring.
No, it
it's
sucks.
No fun. It's not a good movie. But yeah, I don't get, you know, this is not people, there are people who have legitimate concerns about this, but that also is why this news upset me because there were tons of replies. Like when the AP News posted a tweet about it, so many replies of like, this is Fahrenheit 1984, yeah, censorship, book burning. And then, of course, the logic lords of the internet also talked about how this is modern day book burning, which again, these fuckers are so phony. Like, if you're a guy if you're in the digital media, you fucking know this shit doesn't go away.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
this is just about riling up your fans to talk about how people censor things because of sensitivities.
Free speech, like, bullshit, all that
fuck
stuff.
Fuck you. Yes. That is always my stance on those guys.
It's getting to be an angry podcast. Well, I will say, so once again, watch the documentary. People have been replying to me with things that are addressed in the documentary. And I would say, if you watch a documentary, you would know. One of those questions is, haven't these allegations existed for a long time? Wasn't he found innocent, et cetera, et cetera? I will say, when you hear things from victims, it's much different than the abstract world of Michael Jackson we knew through news and through stand-up comedy and through late-night monologues. Mm-hmm. Putting a real face on the victim. And for Henry and me, these victims are basically our age. Yeah. They are white guys born in 1982 or 1981.
Yes.
So that makes it a lot more like, oh, that guy like had the exact same lifestyle as me, plus Michael Jackson.
Well, there's a difference in time, too, because, say, in the 90s, when this first came out, when there were first really strong allegations about this in the early 90s, the stuff about Michael Jackson was like the children, rightly so, were not interviewed. They were not public figures because it was already harrowing enough for them to, you know, go after criminal charges on Michael Jackson. So you couldn't talk to them and get really their side of it until they are adults who want to talk about it and share this stuff. You can't really see it for yourself. So, and then in the 90s, it was really very much more of a doubting victims era than it is now. Not to say that it isn't now. Also,
things are getting better,
but
I think
it was way worse back then, or even in the mid 2000s when Michael Jackson was also sued over this similar thing. Well, a criminal case, which he was again found innocent on, which, when people talk about innocent on those things, it's like, well, a very rich man with very good lawyers can use a law system that is very much not on the side of sexual assault victims, like is invented to take advantage of children. The statute of limitations, the guys in the documentary,
yeah,
like they can't even go after criminal cases because apparently there's a statute of limitations on sexually assaulting children, which that is disgusting as well. It's like, no, didn't get your shit together, kids. Like, sorry.
So I did not actually listen to our Stark Raving Dead episode. I don't know what we said on it. I believe we found it weird that Leon Kompowski, the Michael Jackson surrogate character, stayed overnight without any kind of supervision with Bart. And after going into this documentary and watching it, you kind of realize why they want to pull the episode, because if you see how Michael Jackson groomed and preyed upon these two boys, it's extremely similar to how
Bart hangs out
exactly
with Leon,
like,
in the episode.
Michael Jackson is, quote unquote, Michael Jackson is coming to town to live with his ordinary family. Their lives will change. It ends up not being him, but what he does with Bart is so similar to what happened to these boys, minus, you know, obviously the things we're not talking about right now.
When you're Matt Groening and James L. Brooks and Al Jean back in season 3, though really, I believe it was production season 2, late production season 2, but when you're working on this show and you have the most famous guy in the world ask to work on your show and have an episode, you just say yes. And
And this was before the 93 allegations.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there were probably whispers.
This was 91 when it premiered. Yeah, and there were definitely whispers. I mean, you can't live in Hollywood and not hear that information. But it also was like, you could claim innocence on that stuff, or you could be like, well, you just thought he was weird. He's just a weird guy. But if he was, like, it kind of turns into this almost like double negative or whatever. Like, if he was a child molester, then wouldn't he have been caught? So by the fact that he has not been caught, then he must not be. Like, that's, or you just tell yourself anything because you're so starstruck of meeting, like, one of the most famous entertainers of all time in Michael Jackson.
And the power of celebrity was much different then than it is now. Like, he is probably, I think they even said it on the commentary, the biggest celebrity ever, like, bigger than Elvis. I mean, people like Lady Gaga, Miley Cyrus, they can be just as popular, but for, like, 8 months, maybe. Mm. He was that popular for probably, like, 15 years.
Yeah, on the commentary, like, Mike Reese talks about how there's just no, you can't explain it to people now how famous he was in 1991, and but yeah, when you know, also, yeah, I haven't watched the documentary. I've read the allegations in it. I actually, you know, I paid a lot of attention to his previous ones on this. And I also would suggest anybody watch the documentary Open Secret about pedophiles in Hollywood who also use this, particularly Brian fucking Singer. But the techniques of grooming like that is, it's not, you don't want to know that. It's disgusting. But when you do know what it is, like, and then you know that Michael Jackson wanted the episode to be what the story was, like, it was his story. He didn't write the episode, but they did what he wanted. When he told them to change a joke, they changed the joke. And so he wanted to hang out with Bart. I mean, the story on Do the Bart Man, which was written by Michael Jackson and his songwriters, was that he called James L. Brooks or Matt Groening. I've heard them both tell the story, but it's that they say, he said, quote, "I love Bart. I want to write him a number one song." And that seems innocent at the time, but it's not him saying, "I love The Simpsons."
Yeah.
These characters. It is a specific fascination with Bart. And when you dig farther, like, that's also why you get rid of the episode, because if it's still playing and the more you dig into what this is happening in the episode, the more gross it is.
It really is. And I believe what I said in the past, and maybe on that episode, who knows, I take it back for sure now, but it's like the defense was, you know, he is a sort of stunted man child, arrested development. He was abused. That is true. And I'm sure that is why he turned into an abuser. But if you watch the documentary, you see this is someone who knows what he's doing is wrong and is using his power as basically the world's most powerful non-politician to, like, find boys and to groom boys. This is all, like, premeditated. It's not just like, oh, he doesn't know what appropriate is. He's just such a, like, he's a baby in the head, you know? He's so innocent. Isn't it so sad? Like, he knew. This is all premeditated, all very cold-blooded and very disgusting. In this documentary,
they talk about, like, drills to hide it, right?
Exactly. Like, they talk about, like, this is how we lie. This is where we hide. These are the things we put up so we can hear people coming. This is where we stay so we can see people coming, things like that. And then in the documentary, you hear phone calls and you see faxes and you see all of these things that were not available to the public before. And with all of this evidence, you have to ask yourself, I mean, honestly, we'll never know, but, like, what is more likely? Like, why would they go to all these lengths, these two men, now men, to lie about this? And their lives are being endangered even now by coming forth with these allegations.
And they're not doing this to become rich either. Like, they had tried to take it to the courts with Michael Jackson, and they had found out that they couldn't, right? Like, that there was the statute of limitations was up on it.
Well, one of the boys actually defended Michael Jackson in court.
Yes, yeah.
Like, he lied under oath for Michael Jackson.
In the 05 or 06 trial, right?
Yeah.
Which, that was after, and that was after there was a previous documentary that everybody was like, he's having sleepovers with children? What? And just the way he defends it, I think, too, you just feel kind of betrayed the more you find out about what a fucking act Michael Jackson's whole thing was.
Yeah.
Like, he was an actor. Like, he wasn't real. Like,
And that thing about that interview with that British guy from a million
Martin
years
Bashir,
ago.
Yeah,
where he was, like, climbing the tree. It all feels now like he is putting on a play to be like, I'm a child. I'm climbing a tree. Look at me. I could never molest anyone. I've got a child brain.
Which, like, if, like, you're literally a billionaire who can afford anybody to be a PR consultant or dozens of lawyers, they would instruct you to take this act. They'd be like, well, look, you can't plead insanity exactly, but here's how we're going with it. Like, you don't, if you're Michael Jackson, we all wanted to assume his naivete, but I mean, if you open yourself up to if you invite in the media there, you're doing an act like that.
Yeah.
That's more what it feels like now. And it's just, you know, the public, and I include, like, myself in this too, we all want to believe it's not true, you know?
I definitely don't want to believe it's true.
No one wants to believe it's true because it's so awful. And so if you're offered up anything, I mean, even now, the surviving Jackson family, or several of them, like, they've been doing interviews to say, again, this is not true. These things have never been true. No. Just deny. Though with no specifics on the actual documentary, because they say they haven't watched it.
Or at least
that's what one of his brothers said. And it just is all like, one of the most gross things they say about the victims in there is they're like, they're just after money, which it's like, if you want to talk about people who have a financial interest in this case, it is the family of Michael Jackson to make sure that his music is always worth a bunch of money.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So if you want to talk about who not to believe, let's talk about that.
Yeah, and like that later tree climbing interview, I think this episode itself is good PR for Michael Jackson. Now it feels all very cynical, where Michael Jackson had all of these things where it's like, it's Michael and he's saving children and being with children and having fun with children. It all feels now like it's a predator saying, like, I'm safe around children. Look at me. I love children so much. But that was
That was the plot of the major motion film picture, which is awful, Moonwalker. Like, it's just also a bad movie, but like that was the plot of it, is him saving children.
And then all the video games are just you go left to right saving children.
Yes, which, again, it's like, this is the ultimate hack joke, but the reality is, like, if you were a billionaire child molester, what would you do? Like, the things he did, those are a lot of, and that can't be more clear who Michael Jackson was. He's as horrible as it is to admit these things. It's just, and so, When it comes to that, like, they can't, to keep Stark Raving Dad as a thing that, like, say, plays on Simpsons World, that they make lots of money off of the constant ads they play on Simpsons World, like, they would know they're making money off of a literal criminal, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, cynically, you could say Fox was just like, no, get rid of this, have a statement. It could have been from, like, above them. They could honestly have said, like, I'm not saying this is what James L. Brooks would do or say, but he could say, you know, this has existed for so long, what more harm is it doing? But Fox could be like, we don't want this ever to run, because...
Or their new Disney masters, too. Yeah. Like, it could all come from soft power saying, guys, you got to... We can't talk about this.
Yeah.
Like, it totally could be that.
But now there are new conversations about Michael Jackson. I don't think they want a new viewer of The Simpsons just changing channels and being like, why is Michael Jackson on The Simpsons? What is happening? And not knowing the context. If you buy the 30-year-old DVD box set for season 3, you'll know, like, this was produced in 1991. Michael Jackson was a different person then. He was still alive, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're just flipping channels, you'd be like, why is this guy moonwalking? What's even happening?
Why is Bart saying all these things about how Michael Jackson is the greatest?
Yeah.
And he loves Michael Jackson and just him, you know, stay. When we were kids watching it didn't seem weird that Bart stays up all night hanging out with Michael Jackson, because you do have a child's innocence of, like, Michael Jackson or Leon Kompowski, I guess, is this fictional character, and you just hang out with them, and, like, it is a child's vision, which Michael Jackson preyed upon that, you know, naive belief of kids too.
And I'm not trying to compare sexual assault and murder or say which one is quote unquote worse, but it would sort of be like if a celebrity was on the show and he was like a gun endorsing celebrity, he took Bart shooting and they hung out and they loved guns, and then that guy went on to do a spree killing.
Yeah.
It feels like we don't want that on the show. We don't want to endorse this guy and his behavior. And that's what this episode is doing. It's endorsing Michael Jackson and his behavior of hanging out with a young boy. I mean, like, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's and I think it is a lot of, you know, if you want to take Brooks at his word, I think it is a lot of guilt from them too. Like, they helped, they assisted him, and they probably feel a little guilty about it, I would think.
This show was part of the network that enabled him to prey on children. Like, it was just more good PR, and they made tens of millions of dollars off of it at this point, I'm guessing.
Now, Bob, if I were to play the role of a logic lord here to say, what if I were to, let's create this straw man for a logic lord here. Well, what is the line, Bob? Why don't they just delete the Mel Gibson episode next? Isn't he bad?
And I say, sure, if you want.
Because it would also still be available just as much as Stark Raving Dad is.
I like to refer to Paul F. Tompkins' classic chicken sandwich argument, where he's like, I'm not asking you to investigate everything in the world, but now that you know the sandwich is bad, don't eat the fucking sandwich. You know Michael Jackson is bad. That episode being gone is fine. Like, I'm sure there are people that are also awful. Like James Woods, he sucks. He's also an enjoyer of younger people,
according to allegations. Yes.
But I mean, sure, make that argument. I'm willing to listen.
Yeah, I wouldn't miss that. I mean, it's a great episode, but also, like, the people who are watching a 1991 episode of The Simpsons are people interested in history who they're going to find it anyway.
Yeah.
Like, so. It's not a huge loss. And again, there are millions of season 1 DVDs out there. I think this is just about giving a platform to a Michael Jackson episode, you know? And also, like, not only is it them making money off of it, but I mean, I don't know the behind the scenes on this, but wouldn't you assume that on Happy Birthday Lisa, he owns some rights on that?
Oh, I would imagine, yeah.
By playing the episode, ASCAP or some other music rights fees are paid to the estate of Michael Jackson. So by playing the episode or releasing the episode legitimately, they are making money for Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even if it was just PR alone, that would be bad enough. But money on top of that could be worse.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I do know, yeah, the people who are worried is a slippery slope, I would just say, like, literally nothing is out of print anymore. If it was not out of print 10 years ago, 20 years ago, it's not out of print ever. Like, that's just how the... Or a complete collapse of all technology and the internet. If that happens, then yes, it's gone. But otherwise...
Yeah, no. I'm not trying to lapse into whataboutism, but if you're really that interested in preserving art, there are things much more at risk than this episode. There are classic films and classic television shows. There are better fights to fight than this episode that will always exist. So if you really care, I say please give to a film preservation society, or please have a better fight than this, because, again, this will never disappear.
Yeah, I think, and I do, I would hope people who... I think there are a lot of phonies out there who are mad about this as just a way to be mad at SJWs censoring things for their feelings.
For sure.
Which is, again, not what James L. Brooks is doing.
No, no, no.
Or any of the other Simpsons people. But so I think there are some illegitimate people who get mad about this. But if you are legitimately mad, I would just interrogate those feelings about why and, you know, ask yourself, like, this thing is still available. It's not going away. And if you're mad that's being taken away in more of, like, a superficial way, then, you know, I'd wonder why you're feeling those feelings.
Yeah,
like, yeah, and I will say, I dig a little deeper. And also, why this episode does matter more. The direct availability everywhere of this episode that you'd never even want to watch anymore is more important than the crimes committed by an individual.
Yeah. And again, if you're mad about this being pulled and you haven't watched the documentary, watch it and see if that changes your opinion, because I really think it will.
Yeah.
After watching it, I can definitely see, again, I've talked about it before on this episode, where it is too similar to what he did to his victims, what he does with Bart, the hanging out, the palling around, the adult unsupervised with a child in their house. It is too close, and it now it has an even uglier tone to it, an uglier, darker tone. Like, going into it, we were giggling, I'm sure, like, oh, it's all about Michael Jackson hanging out with a boy, like many Michael Jackson-related properties are and were. But now that is much, much uglier.
It's far more.
It's even hard to be like, I laughed at, like, these SNL jokes and these like David Letterman and Jay Leno jokes.
Yeah, we all did. Like, it was just, I mean, it's edgy comedy, isn't it? Ha ha ha. But then when you actually see the faces of the victims, and it's not just like an easy edgy joke to get a gasp or a pearl clutching from people, it just, you ask yourself, what did I get out of telling this joke?
Yeah.
What was so awesome about this joke? Or same, I have a similar, you know, feeling of this with, I have with the Bryan Singer films. Like, he made some good films, but especially, let's just talk about the X-Men movies. They are about a rich old man who impresses teens to live with him in his house, and he grooms them. Like, it is, that is the life of Bryan Singer. Like, so it's just, it's too similar. It's not even that you like, whether you like the X-Men or not, it's just so similar to what the allegations about him are that you can't not see. When people talk about artists for separating artists from the art, that is impossible for me to do, especially this whole podcast is about finding the artists and why they made art. Art is made by people. I actually really hate art, the idea of removing art from the artist, because I think it also commits to the corporatization of things, of like, well, Spider-Man just exists and he's Marvel's.
Yeah.
Like, no, he was created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. Let's talk about who these people were. Or your favorite character in Captain Marvel was created really by like 8 different people and built over time, and you should know all of their names. When you try to separate the art from the artist, you're not learning about history, and you're actually condemning an artist, and you're an enemy of art, honestly.
I totally agree. And I will say that there are too many TV shows, but I think we're living in a golden age of documentaries, and there are too many documentaries. But another good one about who used to be a walking punchline is the Amazon, I believe, documentary about Lorena Bobbitt, where it's like, All you know about her is that she cut off a penis. But when you find out her story, it's really harrowing, and you feel bad that she was a punchline for like 4 or 5 years on TV,
and that her husband like got to, or her ex husband got to like be a famous person.
Yeah.
Afterwards, yeah. Same with Tonya Harding. You know, Tonya Harding was another '90s joke for us, and then when you hear about how awful her life was and her abusive husband and all these things, you're like, oh, I feel bad about every mean thing everyone said to her and treated her like she wasn't an Olympic world-class skater. You know, it's just that's about growing up, and like no one is perfect. So you shouldn't, like, if you laughed at these things or made these comments before, like, you're an imperfect person like all people.
Yeah.
But like you said, with the Chick-fil-A joke from Paul Tompkins, now that you do know, change your ways.
Yeah. We know now. And sorry for being so intense on this episode. It's a weird time, and they've never done this before, really. They've never really made this sort of a statement before. So mm-hmm. I felt like we both felt that we had to address it publicly. And I'm
enough
sure,
people asked us to, so I felt like we needed it. So yeah, this is a bummer topic, so sorry for we'll have more fun things.
We'll definitely have more fun. Talking in the Hills coming up in about a week, so look out for that.
But yeah, I also didn't want to wait until, this would be normally a thing we talk about on the community podcast, but that's like 3 weeks away.
And that podcast would be like 2 hours long if we saved it for that too.
So
yes, thanks again for listening, folks, and we'll see you again with our next podcast thingy. Goodbye.